What's going on, folks? Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Commanders. I'm Anthony Armstrong, the original 1-3, and we are going to do this thing, y'all. Breaking it down, getting you some more Commanders news as we get out of the draft into rookie mini camps and guys are getting on the field. A little bit of football's being played. Does it feel like football season to you? It shouldn't, but it you can feel it starting to percolate, right? You can feel things starting to warm up. And there's a couple of good things going on in the league right now. So we're talking about what's happening with these Commanders on this episode. And we're going to talk a little bit about some jersey swaps going on, some number changes happening. So you're going to have to go and get your jersey sales up, right, for the Commanders. Then we're also going to catch up with a very special guest. You'll be catching up with him later on in the show. We're going to talk about some offensive line, defensive line stuff, some of the young players that have been brought in for the Commanders. But first things first, folks, we got to let you know that this show, as always, brought to you by Bet Online, betonline.ag. That is the number one source for all your sports betting needs this summer, folks. You got the MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs going on. All the latest stats, news, scores, and available to you to follow all of your favorite teams across the nation, across the world, really. You get the latest odds, lines, and you're going to get the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport that's out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And make sure you do this favor, do me a favor, y'all. Like, comment, subscribe, share this podcast with another Commanders fan. We got to get you on the other shows that are on this wonderful Believe Network. Got everything covered for you, multiple teams, pro players, former players that have done it. They're out here getting this thing done for you. So let's move this thing forward. A couple of bits of good news. Thought this is basically the Good Guy of the Year award. Tress Way is given number 5 to Jaden Daniels. I saw that, and I first saw that comment. I said, man, what was the price tag on that one? And a few of y'all chimed in with some insight. First one said, Rich Turpin said, knowing Tress is probably nothing. And then somebody came back with the actual compensation. Tress asked Jaden to hook him up with some tickets to the OU-LSU game after Tress is done playing ball. So the next time that you'll see OU at LSU is, I want to say, November 10th, 2024. That'll go down this year. But obviously, Tress is still playing ball. So whenever Tress is done, that is when you're going to see him and his family going down at LSU on the dime of Jaden Daniels. So I will say this much. I would surely love for Jaden to still be in Washington, putting up touchdowns for the burgundy and gold, rocking number 5 when he is able to send Tress Way and his family to the game at LSU. And with Tress Way giving number 5 to Jaden Daniels, I had to go and look up just some of the athletes who have paid for jersey numbers. I had to find out. Just you know, that's what crossed my mind. What athletes have paid for their jersey numbers? Kellen Winslow Jr., he paid for number 80. He wore it to honor his dad. Kellen Winslow Sr. Bought the number from Aaron Shea for an undisclosed amount back in his rookie year. So that's one. Clinton Portis, there you go, Commanders fans. Clinton Portis, he bought number 26. He made an offer to pay $40,000. Now, let's see here. One of the three most consistent running backs of his era, Clinton Portis had worn 26 from his early days of playing football. That's why he was willing to at least offer to pay $40,000 to retain it when he first got the job, get to Washington in 24. He was willing because the transaction with then-teammate Ifeanyi Ogalete wasn't as smooth as one would think. Let's see, the two ended up in court because Porter didn't pay the man after the dude was released. CP 26 was one. Mitch Williams, pitcher, played 28. I don't even know who that guy is. Lee Evans, oh, he was a talented receiver. He ended up, he was handed $20,000 to tight end Mark Campbell for the rights to the digits. So $20K, Adrian Beltre, Hall of Famer down here, Hall of Famer, legend for the Texas Rangers. He got a big deal. He wanted to get number 29. Still the kindness of teammate Julio Bourbon had in it giving up. Beltre gave the utility player Rolex for doing so without much of a fight and for being a good sport. That's what's up. That's what's up. Tom Glavin, historic pitcher, number 47. He wore for 16 years. He wanted to make sure he kept the digits when he went to the Mets for the 23 season. But Joe McEwing already owned the jersey. That's when he got creative, agreeing with the lefty to pay for a baby nursery in McEwing's home. That's creative right there. That wasn't too typical. That's creative to say, let me get you a baby nursery. Because when you look at it, y'all, he's like, number one, we got a baby on the way. I'm Joe McEwing. I know the name, but I'm not familiar what his you know career was like. But he's like, you know what? He's like, man, let me get this baby nursery. So it had to probably be about $20,000, maybe something like that. I'd throw in crib and furniture and decorations and a designer and all that stuff. Tell your wife to go crazy and make it all happen. Because it's on Tom Glavin. We giving up that 47, might as well do it. Let's keep rolling here. Deion Sanders, primetime himself, he wanted number 21. He wanted number 21. He wanted when he got to Dallas. But when the Cowboys cornerback Alundis Bryce already occupied the number 21, Sanders went out and surprised Bryce with his dream car, a brand new metallic blue BMW 325i, and a note by his locker that read, "Now give me my damn jersey." That is a good one. That is a good one. You bought the man a car, and man, BMW 325i, and you said it was blue. I think you said it was blue. Just so for the sake of what he grabbed him. Ain't nothing too fancy. Go look that up right there. Shout out to Prime. Bought the man a car. I said, get on about the number. AJ Burnett, he bought number 34. That's why the righty actually decided to set up his Pirates teammate, Daniel McCutchen, with a college fund for his daughter in exchange for the number last year. Wow. That's what's up. He's like, I'll pay for your kid's college down the line. That is what's up. Donovan McNabb, former Commander, former Eagle, he bought number 5. He made his way up to Minnesota, and he was trying to have that same number. He had to negotiate the deal, quite a unique deal with Chris Cluey. Donovan had to write a check for $5,000 to the charity of Cluey's choice, mention Cluey's band Tripping Icarus in 5 press conferences, and buy the punter an ice cream cone with McNabb failing on the band and ice cream cone agreements. Oh, man. I'm gonna ask Donovan about that, bro. Like, what's up with the Tripping Icarus? We didn't get the Tripping Icarus shout out. Eli Manning bought number 10. He was wearing number 10 after he was forced to find an alternative at Ole Miss since the school already had retired 18. Manning figured it would be worked well enough to garner the top pick in 2014. He went ahead and stuck with it. But Jeff Fiegels, he had to convince the punter to get up with it. He got Jeff Fiegel's family an all-expense-paid trip to Florida, which had to be less than some of these. That's not bad. What expenses now? I want to know. Ricky Henderson, okay, the GOAT himself. He ran number 22. When he got to the Toronto Blue Jays in 1993, he made sure that didn't change. He paid $25,000 to Turner Ward in order to keep it. All right. That's what's up. Eric Decker. Oh, wow, the receiver from Denver to the Jets. Safe to say, Decker had plenty of cash to pony up for his favorite number. Although his financial advisor probably didn't approve it, Decker paid incumbent Jets player Jeff Cumberland $25,000 and offered a steak dinner to the tight end for the rights to the number. So $25,000. Roger Clemens, number 21, he paid Carlos Delgado $15,000 and gave him a Rolex to make sure he never had to even chance to not wear it. So, yeah, he did that. Roger Clemens on 21. Darrell Revis, number 24, when he made his way down to Tampa Bay, he needed to get his favorite number back. There was one problem. Then rookie Mark Barron already had it. Mark Barron already had it, but with a $13 million paycheck coming after signing a new deal, Revis had money to spare and paid the safety $50,000 to make sure that the number was all his. 50K, good night. And MJ, number 45. Most of us associate Michael Jordan with number 23, as it remains to be one of the most famous jerseys in all of sports. But remember when MJ switched to 45 following his return from baseball in 1995. With his usual 23 hanging up in the rafters following his first retirement, Jordan thought wearing the same digits during he did during his brief baseball career would work just fine. Unfortunately, the NBA didn't agree, fining him and the Bulls more than $100,000 for the 100K. Good Lord. Get out the man's pockets. Get out the man's pocketbooks. 100K for the number. I want to know this. Do me this favor. Jump over there on Twitter, at Believe Commanders. I want to hear what is your, what would be your price? What would be your number that you're trying to buy? If you had your number and you were that dude or that girl, and what would you pay for it, right? What would you pay for it? I know Tressway is a nice guy, but if Jaden Daniels came to you and he said, "Hey, I would like to get five off of you," what would be your price? So I want to know. Hit me up on at Believe Commanders or at Rated Armstrong on X. We'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you think about that. What's your price and what's your... All right, now we are joined by ESPN 103.3, ESPN New Orleans, host of Inside the Trenches, is Mr. Marlon Favorite. He is a former Washington, was it Commander football team when you were there? What was it when you were in Washington?
So they were technically still the Skins, but that was then, but they're the Commanders now. And I got all a new drip. One thing I did appreciate, when the label changed, they sent all of the former players some the Shaws. I got like little pins. I got that one right there. Okay, yeah, we here. We did.
You
there
see
we
go. It behind me. I put mine up, man. I had to have it. Made a little podcast corner. I brought Marlon on for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's good people, right? You got to check him out. What'd you say? Hello, somebody.
Hello, somebody.
Always got good vibes with him. Always has good energy. And he's doing big things. So I met him at the broadcast boot camp up there. What was it? We were in Ohio, I think it was. So both went through that process together. Now we're doing our respective things on, you know, media networks and whatnot. But I brought him in because he's from the boot. He's from the boot. One of the biggest draft picks that you got here with the Commanders is from the boot. So I actually just got done chopping it up with somebody who coached Jaden Daniels during his freshman season, right? Derek Hagan with Arizona State. You being down there, having went to LSU, having watched Jaden Daniels go through his thing, what are Commanders fans getting from this number five?
Listen, Commanders fans, y'all are getting the best quarterback in this draft, hands down. We can play the tape back. You're going to say Big Fave told us. Listen, the last 2 years, working for LSU Sports Radio, covering this kid week in and week out, watching everybody else week in and week out, in the studio, me, Hunt, Palmer, and Brandon Taylor, we will be checking out Caleb Williams. We checked out a couple of North Carolina games, saw Drake. And so that whole deal, Jaden is it. Coach Quinn has an elusive quarterback. Anthony, he has someone that when everything breaks down, you know, you're a skilled player. Sometimes you hit that route and that DB's just sitting there waiting. They're sitting on it or they're in the zone. He could take off and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. That's my NFL comparison. And Commanders, y'all going to love him.
I love it. And from all accounts, he's a humble guy. A couple of episodes ago, spoke with Lake Lewis. He is NFL insider, covers the Commanders. He said that Jaden was as humble as could be, right? He understands he needs to earn his keep. He needs to show that he's worth every bit of money that they're going to get from him because he's going to earn that spot. So it's exciting to hear that. But now I had to also bring you on because you're a defensive lineman, right? He's a defensive lineman, and Washington got an absolute dog, in my opinion, an absolute animal, a steal in the second round with Johnny Newton. Had you watched much tape of Johnny Newton?
I watched a little bit of tape on him. I do know that he's aggressive with his when it's the 50-50 ball. He get up and he can make a play on the 50-50
I'm talking the defensive tackle. You thinking the receiver, Johnny. I'm talking about the defensive tackle out of Illinois. You thinking Johnny Wilson from Florida State.
Oh, I'm tripping. You're talking about J-E-H.
Jerzon.
Jerzon. I know. Okay, gotcha. No. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Now I'm thinking your position. I'm all okay. So That young man for the number 90, I want to say from Illinois, straight dog. Okay, so watching his tape, just going through, because we thought that the Saints might have went defensive tackle this year as well. We knew that they was either going to go with best available offensive lineman because that was their number one need, but we thought defensive tackle. And the kid Newton from Illinois is somebody that shows that versatility on the inside, right? So Coach Quinn, and I played for Coach Quinn before out in Seattle, so I know he likes to run with the four down linemen and just everybody being able to win in their gap. So this kid's vertical game is off the chain. That's right. He did slip to the second round.
Yeah.
He was probably maybe a top five interior lineman in this draft because he had the two kids from Texas. I know they had Mason Smith up there, which he went 48 to Jacksonville. Yeah, he was right. Like, he was in between, like, Brian Murphy and, like, a Mason Smith to me. So, that was definitely a steal in the second
round. Yeah, smaller guy. I mean, I say smaller. Dude, 280. He give me Aaron Donald vibes. But then when I went and looked at Aaron Donald's college stats, those numbers are absolutely ridiculous. Like, that dude got to the quarterback and caused so much havoc back at Pitt. To have that comparison to Johnny Newton in my eyes, it just kind of blows my mind. But let's take it down there to the Saints, though. Let's take it down there, Who Dat Nation, see what y'all got going down there in the NFC South. What do you think the Saints need this year? I know this is a Commanders podcast, but if I got somebody that's covering the Saints, I'm going to talk about them. What do the Saints need to do to get to the top of the division this year?
Well, one thing that they have to do, or should I say the first thing on their list, is have more consistent play at the quarterback position.
Hmm.
Right? Last year, Derek Carr was hurt. They didn't really trust Jameis Winston as much. Didn't have anybody to roll with, so they just kind of had to roll with like a skeleton offensive plan. You could tell it was obvious they didn't really have a game plan for Jameis. But when Derek Carr got hurt, or when he was in, he wasn't as productive. That inconsistency led to a bad season. So bringing in Coach Clint Kubiak from San Francisco, offensive coordinator now, and him bringing in the pieces, like when that hire happened, he had guys in mind. You could tell. Yeah. We went and got Coach Andrew from Minnesota. We went, got a couple of guys, available coaches, and got them right in on time. So the type of offense that they're going to run now is going to help Derek Carr out. You saw it last year with Brock Purdy. So I do think if they get consistent play at the quarterback position, it'll be big. Secondly, they address the second piece in the draft, and that's the offensive lineman that's healthy, brand new, and going to get Fuanga from Oregon State was huge. So that was the biggest thing, to be successful.
Yeah, you got to keep them quarterbacks upright, man. I mean, that's a big thing. That's a big thing that is up in Washington. It's always been recently the O-line play has really stunted the quarterback play. I mean, when you watch tape of Jaden, he can climb the pocket, he can escape. Now there is a guy that I don't know how much you've seen, Brandon Coleman, the tackle out of TCU. He's a tackle guard out of TCU, but he's headed up to Washington. He's going to have to take on some of these fast defensive ends and edge rushers. I've watched the tape, and to me, he's a short set guy, right? He's one that he doesn't want to get a whole lot of depth, and he wants to sit back and then get his hands on you. If you're a short set guy, can you explain what would you need to work on as an offensive lineman, or what are you looking for as a defensive lineman going against somebody with that type of a skill set? Strong hands, but doesn't like to get a lot of depth.
Well, as a defensive lineman, I like going against those type of guys because when you go to a short set, you're one dimensional. Now you have to play aggressive.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're going against a guy, I'll say somebody who was at Washington with me, like a Trent Williams. Incidentally speaking, we were just talking about the 49ers with Clint Kubiak. He's someone who's going to finesse it. He's going to get back to that point, and he's going to keep his feet hot, and he's going to be very athletic. And those are typically the tougher guys. So when you have a guy like Brandon Coleman, and he's someone we looked at on Inside the Trenches as a guy that if the Saints went best available wide receiver. You know, no Michael Thomas anymore. Best available defensive tackle. I was talking about the Byron Murphy kid from Texas. If they would have took that direction, then I think it would have been it would have been a bit different. I think it would have been more we would have went against to try to get a guy like Coleman. But in y'all's offense, especially with a guy like Jaden Daniels, I would move an aggressive guy like that to the guard. So it's good that we're having the same issues down here with Trevor Penning. We drafted him as a right tackle to complement Ryan Ramczyk, but now we don't know if Ryan Ramczyk is going to be in or out. So if he's in, I mean, if he's out, well, we got somebody. We drafted this kid. Now we can bump maybe someone. I don't know. You could probably bump a what's the other kid we bring in a Udo from the Vikings. He could compete for that other left tackle position for the Saints. So yeah, they get that together.
I like that. See, that mean you gotta have a plan. I know you can't keep these quarterbacks upright. You're gonna have a problem. But the Saints did get a guy, Spencer Rattler, in about the fifth round, right? So he was the seventh quarterback taken out of the whole draft, and the first six are in the top 12 picks. Do you think he makes his way to the field this year?
That is a great question. All right, and it's a two-piece. First and foremost, I don't think in the history of the draft, at least the modern-day era draft, we've seen it go 130-some-odd picks before quarterback comes off the board.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about this on the show for tonight's segment. We talked about how, like, you have all of these edge rushers and, you know, versatile offensive linemen, whether you can play center guard or whether you can play guard tackle, fall off the board. So I think the Saints really got lucky. This is what I've been preaching down here. And I know this is a Washington. We definitely going to take it back to the NFC East because y'all are very interesting. You know, you got – Saquon Barkley now with the Eagles and the Cowboys trying to figure out what they're going to do. But long story short, on this end, you have a situation where the Saints needed an offensive lineman. They got that. They needed some type of defensive player. I didn't know if we needed to go safety corner or get another solid edge rusher. We went Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama.
Yeah.
And we get to that fifth-round pick and Spencer Rattler's there? So to answer your question, if Derek Carr gets hurt, hello, somebody.
Yeah.
That kid that get on the field, because, hey, we have a classic situation here. We're seeing that right now in Atlanta. Like, people thought the craziest deal in the first round was Michael Penix to Atlanta after spending all that money on Kirk Cousins. But we also saw Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Still be Aaron Rodgers, and they go spend first-round money on Jordan Love, transfer of power. It may be a situation like that here in New Orleans with Spencer Rattler and Derek Carr.
Yeah, that'd be good. Have yourself a quarterback in waiting right now. You know, I mean, hell, Washington has had – what is this, the eighth straight season that they're going to have a different quarterback starting the season? So you don't know who you're going to work with. You're not sure of it at all, but – man, make sure y'all follow Big Faye. That Big Faye 504 is Marlon Faye, right? 103.3 ESPN Radio New Orleans. He's jumping in with us. Way too early prediction. Way too early prediction. Who do you think is going to be the most successful defensive player coming out of this draft?
Oh, we did something like this earlier this week. Man, that kid in Philly, sorry, Washington fans, Mitchell, Quinyon Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, the kid out of Toledo, yeah.
Here's the thing about him. I heard so many reports, and even some of the folks I talked to from LSU said, man, he was at the Senior Bowl, like, what a best receiver. Oh, you the best receiver? Come on, let's get out of here. Mm. Like, that has a lot of potential. It's natural for us to, you know, look at maybe a defensive lineman or maybe another cornerback. Like, even, you know, it's fun for the Saints down here. Kool-Aid McKinstry might could get in that. You know, he plays, starts at nickel, kind of fills that Chauncey Gardner role for us. Or, you know, you never know how things go. But I think overall, you look at this class, the Eagles may have them one with Mitchell.
Okay. All right. I mean, look, when you see a small school corner go in the first round, that's a good thing. Like, look at Sauce Gardner. He went to Cincinnati. He's like, some people will say, well, why didn't they go to a Power Five? Maybe they had other reasons, but they can ball, right? Sometimes it ain't always about the jersey that they're wearing. These dudes can ball. They can ball. Yes, we definitely see a lot about the young fella out of Toledo, and we're going to have to see Cooper DeJean. So it's going to be interesting to see, because this is a division. Hell, last year, Emmanuel Forbes, first-round pick for the Commanders, he had a murderer's row of receivers come through, and that kind of hurt his rookie season. So we'll see how Mitchell shines out of all of this. What about on the offensive side? Okay, or I'll make it even easier for you. What LSU player? What LSU player is gonna have the best season? You got Malik Nabers up there in New York. You got Brian Thomas. Where Brian Thomas go? Miami.
He went to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. So he's in
Jacksonville. Got three LSU players. They got him in the first round. Then they went got Mason Smith in the second round. In the fourth round, they went got Jordan Jefferson. So they went two D lineman receiver.
Mm. So tell me what LSU player you think is gonna have the best season this upcoming season?
Well, I think the Commander fans are gonna love this one because y'all drafted the offensive rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels. Congratulations. Hey. Scooted way too early. Congratulations, you know.
I'll take
y'all
that.
Y'all did it. Jaden Daniels have the year he had last year at LSU. The other two guys you mentioned are the 2,000-yard receivers that he threw to, and he still managed to rush for over that amount of yardage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that energy is coming there. He's a young quarterback. A lot of people, the big knock that most folks said, oh, well, he's small. No, he's actually 2 inches taller than Lamar Jackson, and now they weigh the same. Now they're both 215, 216.
Yeah. For what it's worth, folks, Jaden Daniels over there at betonline.ag using our code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, he's at plus 500. Odds to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He is second behind Caleb Williams, who is plus 200. So if you want to get in on that, go right ahead. He's not on the I don't see him on the list for, like, Offensive Player of the Year. If he is, he's not necessarily a favorite. So, hey, go give it a chance, right? Go give it a chance. See if you can get Jaden Daniels, maybe win you some money down the line. A big fave, man. I appreciate you coming in, taking the time to chop it up with us. If y'all down there in the boot, man, check him out, 103.3 ESPN New Orleans. And then also check him out at Big Fave 504 on all your social media platforms.
Thanks for having me on, my brother. And looking forward to talking to y'all soon. Hello, somebody.
Hello. Appreciate y'all sticking with me this long. If you're still here, do me a favor, man. Number one, give yourself a pat on the back. And I want to say thank you. Much appreciation for hanging out with me. Do this favor as well. Like, comment, subscribe, and share this with your favorite Commander fans as well. Do this also. Go over there to our social media platform. I want you to join in. Tell me what was your favorite part of the show. We talked with a few people. We had Derek Hagan, former NFL receiver, Arizona State legend. He played for Arizona State. He coached Brandon Ayuk. He coached on that staff with Jaden Daniels. We talked about that. We also had Marlon Faber, right? He went to LSU. He covered LSU when Jaden Daniels was there. So we got to see what they saw over these past couple years from our new quarterback in the burgundy and gold. So chime in over there. I don't want to know, what is your price? What would you sell your jersey for? Did Tress Way undercut himself? I'd be interested to see like that. And then also know this much. This show is brought to you by folks over there at Bet Online. Use our code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Get that 50% welcome bonus over there at betonline.ag. It's where the game starts. I'm Anthony Armstrong, your favorite receiver of all time. Of all time. The original 1-3, man. I enjoyed hanging out with y'all. Y'all hang tight with us. We'll be back with more from Believe in Commanders. Talk to you soon.